Hey everyone, welcome back to the Farm Family Podcast. Today I wanted to talk about some old-fashioned homemaking skills that you can teach your kiddos this school year.
Welcome to the Farm Family Podcast, the podcast for families with old-fashioned hearts like ours that believe what our world needs most is connection in the home. We help families learn together in ways that build life skills and foster curiosity, discovery, adventure, and discussion. In this podcast, we'll cover topics like homesteading, home education, homemaking, and pretty much all things old-fashioned and down home. I'm your host, Cheyenne Lene, a livestock-obsessed homeschool graduate, total book nerd, homesteader, pastaholic, loving daughter and big sister, and founder of Farmhouse Book Co. My whole family and I are so happy you're here. This is the Farm Family Podcast.
So I don't know about you guys, but it's just been feeling heavier and heavier in the world lately. And I feel like there's this new awakening that's reaching a lot of families to the old-fashioned way of life, the old-fashioned skills that we've kind of forgotten and forsaken as a society. And I mean, between pandemics and shortages and just all of the crazy things we're experiencing, wars and rumors of wars, and just all of this kind of darkness that we're feeling, we're starting to wake up and realize how dependent we are on the infrastructure set up in society. And unfortunately, those infrastructures are failing us. And beyond that, I think everything just seems like we got off course. For a lot of families, we're seeing where the world's at right now, and we're realizing that it's not resonating with our ultimate goals to have healthy, well-adjusted, confident children and family, to feel connected with each other. And the interesting thing is that finding moments to slow down, and especially to slow down with skills and learn together, it creates that connection that we're longing for, that I think has created, that we're kind of trying to fill the void in society right now. And that void is that loss of connection that was so inherent in some ways in generations before, because you were doing everything together. There was so much of the daily life that required each other to pitch in and make possible. So I wanted to talk about some homemaking skills and old-fashioned homesteading skills that you can get started teaching your family this school year without having to be proficient or an expert in these skills already. In fact, you're able to learn them together. And I'm going to share where to start specifically in each category and what specific projects I recommend and learned from when I was first starting out, so that you can beat that overwhelm. And the great thing is to not just beat the overwhelm, but beat that feeling of needing to have complicated resources or a certain situation or circumstance in your life. Like, I think a lot of us think we have to wait until we are on a homestead or have land or in the country to start this. And just about nearly none of these skills that I'm going to talk about today are going to require even so much as a backyard. So that being said, let's dig right into it. So I wanted to talk about cheese making in dairy. A lot of people first start with yogurt. I know that's where I first started, was learning how to make homemade yogurt, but I actually found that more difficult than it was kind of pitched to be. It's still a great skill to start with, but what I recommend starting with first is actually making farmer's cheese, or kind of a cheater's ricotta. And I'll kind of break down a little bit how to make that real quick. Basically, you're going to heat milk up to the correct temperature on the stove. You're going to make sure that you don't want it to boil over. Basically, it's going to start to form like little bubbles on the top of the surface. Just tiny, tiny little ones, kind of like a foam. And then you're going to go ahead and add in like vinegar or lemon juice, something acidic. And that will create the curdle that you want to happen there. You let it sit for 15 minutes or so. You don't need rennet for this kind of cheese. You don't need like citric acid or a specific type of acid in order for it to work, which is something that I really, really like about it. Once it's created those curds, you can spoon or pour them out gently into a fine mesh strainer that's got some good cheesecloth or even paper towels in it. For this, I really recommend that you do cheesecloth because you're going to want to tie it up and hang it to dry, not dry really, but to drain for a few hours. This is a great one to start with. It's great spread on to crackers. You can use it in place of ricotta cheese in like raviolis or things like that. And it's one of my favorite places to start. Another great cooking and baking skill to start with when you're looking to create and develop those old-fashioned skills is making homemade egg pasta dough. This is a great one because it's not, I mean, to get, there's kind of ranges and skill on this. There's people that really, really dig into pasta dough and want to get very certain specific textures and things like that. But for the most part, it's like playing with Play-Doh. And so kids love that. I love it. And it's a really simple recipe. It's simple on the ingredient list. You're not having to go out and find unique ingredients that may not be readily available. And that's something that's important to me as I'm trying to learn new skills and trying to help other people learn new skills, is not having to go to a bunch of different stores or special order things online just for one specific project or one specific skill, because it's just not sustainable. I want it to be as simple as possible. Egg pasta doughs are just wheat and eggs and then water or olive oil or both. It kind of depends. I've been making sourdough egg pasta lately, and so I can't quite remember all of the ingredients that I used to use when I was making it without sourdough, but I believe it was those four ingredients. And this was great. You can take that homemade ricotta cheese that you made before and you can add that in and make ravioli, or you can just slice it. There's so many shapes that you guys can learn to make. So it's a great skill that will grow and that you can continue to develop and perfect and expand on without needing a whole lot of stuff. You can dry it or freeze it. And so if you do have a homestead with chickens, it's a great way to preserve eggs. And it's also one of my favorite places to start. The next thing as far as gardening goes, we're hitting fall. So depending on what zone you are in, you probably have a somewhat limited grow time period to grow in from now till your first frost. But there's still a lot of vegetables that you can plant for your fall garden. And I recommend finding the, regardless of where you are, I really recommend with kids as you're first learning how to garden, finding fast maturing crops like radishes and things like that. I remember my first crop vegetable that I ever grew was a radish with my grandma, and it was in this little tiny little spot in our backyard. And believe it or not, it was my grandma from the city, not my grandma from the country, that we did this with. But it was just a great one. You know, radishes, carrots, things, any greens that will be quick maturing, those are all great ones to plant right now, especially with little ones, because you get a quicker result. And so they're able to see usually within the time period of a month. If you can find things that do a month-long growing process, that's always great because they're able to see the full life cycle, and they're also able to really enjoy the fruits of their labor quickly. The other reason why it's great is you can succession plant those, so you're getting a lot more food out of that one plot and time period, which is great if you don't have a lot of space, if you're in an apartment or a backyard. The other reason, a lot of these quick maturing crops are root crops, and so those will allow you, especially if you cover with straw or even like a row cover, that'll allow you to really extend that grow time and kind of creep into the cooler parts of the year. The next thing is preserving. With preserving, a great place to start is like salt cures. I like to start with salt curing eggs. That was something fun to learn. You're really able to dig into the science with it. Or oil curing, as not curing, but oil preserving, like preserving fresh tomatoes or things like that, even roasted vegetables in olive oil. That is a little bit more of an expensive project, but if you kind of just pick one that you do and you preserve it in that, that's always a great place to start because it's extremely easy. There's still a little bit of a science aspect that you can dig into as you work your way up to like water bath canning and then eventually pressure canning. So I highly recommend that. There's a video on YouTube from Shay Elliott on her homestead where she is oil preserving, I think it was tomatoes that she did. And that's a really, really good one. I'll link it in the description so that you guys can watch that too. And then on to sewing. Something that is a great place to start with sewing is actually hand sewing. That way you're not required to buy an expensive sewing machine, especially before you know if you have an affinity or a like for sewing and enjoy it. So the project that I recommend starting with is actually hand piecing quilt pieces, especially because you can start as big as you like or as small as you want. And you can even do applique as well. You can kind of start with the hand piecing because those stitches aren't visible. And as those stitches become more even, you can work your way up to applique, which is also still very, very easy. My friend over at Briarton Farm, that's her Instagram page, she recently did a really, really fun quilting bee party for her daughter's birthday. It was actually her little daughter's idea. Super, super fun. And they did hand applique. It's a lot easier than it sounds. The great thing about this too is that it's a portable form of sewing. You can take those pieces. It's time to reclaim the skills of those that came before us and learn as families how to live a slower, simpler life off of land. And our editions of classics like Anna Green Gables, Swiss Family Robinson, and Black Beauty are designed to teach your family life skills like how to grow and preserve your own food, raise livestock, find and purify water, cook at home and at camp, how to sew, knit, bake, and more in a fun, lighthearted, and stress-relieving way, which is crucial in the crazy times we live in. And you can learn right along with them. No previous experience or knowledge required. Now our books are available in our Farmhouse Library membership, where you can gain full access to all 52 and counting of the printable editions of our books, with first access to new books before they're released to the public, plus over 150 nonfiction ebooks, audiobooks, and resources from days gone by. And you'll also get our online video courses for the whole family. We're having a huge sale right now where you can use our coupon code BACKTOSCHOOL to get 50% off of our annual plan. The code expires August 20th, so you'll want to hop on this right now. You can find the link in our description. My camera cut off there, so I had to restart. But something that's great about hand piecing and applique is that they are portable sewing projects. So they can take them along as they go over to family's house. Maybe they need something to do. I was an ADHD kid growing up. So even though I was pretty mature for my age and I could enjoy the adults' conversation, I still usually needed something to do with my hands or my brain. I was that kid that would take a book to family events just because sometimes there just wasn't enough going on for me to really be able to behave appropriately without something to do. So that's a great thing because then they're able to take it with them to other places. They're able to sit while they watch TV and do that as it becomes more habitual and second nature for them. There's even more windows of opportunity. Maybe they need help focusing to like read alouds or things like that. That's also something that helped me as a kid. Having something to do with my hands when I needed to focus was always really, really helpful. And I retained a lot more. Even if I wasn't making eye contact and visibly listening, I was able to retain a lot more audibly if I had something to do with my hands. So hand piecing and hand applique are the projects that I really recommend starting with. And then you can go on to hand sewing aprons and things like that as well. The next thing are knitting and crochet. I would start with crochet. That's what I started with. So maybe I'm just biased, but I do find it's a little bit easier because you really only have like one working hand. And so you're not having to coordinate quite as much. And so those movements are a little bit easier. The pattern that I recommend starting with crochet is to learn to crochet a granny square. The great thing about granny squares is they can be pieced together to make so many things. You can continue to expand on one square and you have one big giant granny square blanket. You can do just little pieces, do multiple different little granny squares and then sew them together. And then you've got a granny square quilt. You can also sew them into like tops and bags and things like that. There's also so many different ways to do granny squares that still use the same stitches, but like in different counts. There's sunflowers and hexagons and all kinds of different things like that. So granny squares can be a great foundation for crochet because you're able to really build up from it without having to learn a ton of stitches. It's also a great place to start as you're learning to read patterns. So I highly recommend when you start with crochet, starting with a granny square. And then I recently learned how to knit. That's something that took a while for me to ever get started on. And I really, really enjoyed it because I started in crochet. I went to learning how to knit in the continental style. The great thing about knitting in the continental style is it is a lot faster than knitting the American way. Just where you're holding your yarn and everything, it's less movements. That's the other reason that starting with crochet is great is because it trains one of your hands to already kind of be doing what it needs to be doing when you're knitting. And so it builds up that skill and that strength without you having, like before you add in that other hand that's doing other things when you're knitting. When you're knitting, the projects that I recommend starting with is like the basic increasing and then decreasing patterns. So basically you're just doing a knit stitch and you yarn over after a certain amount of stitches and that creates a pretty little eyelet. And what's great about that is it's kind of the knitting equivalent of a granny square where you're able to make it huge and you can do a blanket or you can make it small and do dishcloths. You could piece them together as well into quilt pieces. So that's where I recommend starting as far as projects go for knitting and crochet. It's also great. Another point on that pattern for knitting, it's great too because it teaches you three skills in one project. You're learning how to do, well, four, five. Let's go with five. I had to really think about it for a second. But you're learning, of course, how to cast on. You're learning how to do a knit stitch. You're learning how to increase. You're learning how to decrease. And you're learning how to cast off. So it's a very nice variety of skills that you're able to learn. And then you can venture into things like purl stitches and all that kind of jazz. But I do recommend those. So then the last thing is cleaning routines. And again, no one loves to clean usually. I do know a few people who love to clean, but generally speaking, most kids aren't born with an innate desire to clean. But creating fun routines and tying them to book characters is really just kind of the way that we love to do it in our house. I still pretend that I'm book characters to this day. And the great thing about starting with routines is that you can build fun activities into those routines. So for example, if you want to create a habit of, let's say, cleaning off surfaces like counters and kitchen tables and things like that, desks. Something that can be a fun activity to help get the kids into it is to make like a homemade infused cleaning vinegar. In fact, I have a video where Ash Maiden, one of our book characters from our Grimm's Fairy Tale series that teaches cleaning and homemaking in an old-fashioned way from historical books and records. We have a video on Farmhouse TV on how to make infused cleaning vinegars in the character of Ash Maiden teaching the kids with a little read aloud and everything like that. So that's a great activity to do, is to make home infused cleaning vinegars. It's completely safe because you're using food safe products. And so you're not having to worry about, I keep knocking over my microphone because I talk with my hands so much. But you're using food safe ingredients. So you know it's something that they can use and interact with and have access to without it being too dangerous. So that's a great thing. And then having like their own supplies. It helps get them invested. They're excited to use it. I made a cleaning cart myself a while back. And just the other day, my little sister begged to come over so that she could clean with the cleaning cart because it got her excited about the idea. So really having the right materials for the kids to be able to be involved and feel like they have a sense of control, not just control, but autonomy in the cleaning routines really, really helps. And then also just starting with like a few skills or one skill at a time or one habit at a time. So that's my recommendation with that, is to start with kind of making like cleaning supplies that go with the skill or habit you're trying to make happen. So if you have older kids and maybe the habit that you want them to get into is doing a load of laundry every day, start to finish, maybe that's their chore in the house, they could make a homemade laundry detergent. I have a recipe for that in Farmhouse TV as well under a Happily Ever Homemaker video series. And that's just a great way too to get them involved. It creates that excitement. They're able to scent it however they like with their favorite essential oils or other safe scents that you feel comfortable using. So that's really something that I like to do and a trick that I like to have. And of course, involving storytelling. If you're looking for books that we have that go along with all of these, I actually have a few recommendations for cooking and baking from scratch. We have, all of our books have recipes in them that are old-fashioned, authentic recipes from the time period. So you can really dig into that. Some of our best ones are in our Black Beauty series. Our Alice in Wonderland series has some great ones. Our Swiss Family Robinson series talks about dairying and butter and cheese. I think one of our Anne books does too, but I'd have to look again. As far as preserving goes, Black Beauty has chapters on preserving, and so does our Victory Garden series. Our Victory Garden series has a ton on preserving. For sewing, I highly recommend the first two Anne of Green Gables books we have, and then our book Snowdrop that's in the Fairy Tale series has sewing patterns in it. Taylor of Gloucester. I looked up how to pronounce that once upon a time, and I can't remember now. That one has some good sewing insight for really, really, really early sewers and younger kiddos. For knitting, Anna Green Gables, the first book and the last book, talk about knitting. Black Beauty also has really, really great knitting instructions in it. And then as far as cleaning routines go, those are really covered in Snowdrop and Ash Maiden in our Fairy Tale series. So if you're looking for books with classic stories that will really kind of guide you through these that you can use for your homeschool year, those are the books in the series that I really recommend. I will link to them and their bundles in the description as well. They'll have their syllabi on there so that you can read what skills in particular those teach also. So I hope this got you thinking and your brains going on the exact projects that you can start with that reduce that overwhelm, that don't require you to know everything about a skill, and that you can learn together without losing your mind. This is such a great time to start learning these skills. It's absolutely not too late, and it's a wonderful way to bond. It's something my little sister came over and I was knitting, as I've been trying to get really, really good at it so I can record a video showing you guys how to do some basic knitting. And my little sister came over, and she's not so little anymore. She's about 10 years old, and she sat on my lap, and I put my arms around her so I could show her how to knit the stitches with my hands over her hands. And it was such an incredibly fun moment. It's one of those things where, I mean, I haven't had her on my lap since she was itty bitty, right? And we were able to connect and spend time together, which was great, especially because I get so busy and sometimes I'm not as great about that as I need to, as far as taking a moment to breathe and spend time with the ones that I love. So creating those moments of connection are just truly, truly powerful. If you follow us on Instagram, maybe you saw our meme that had a vintage photograph of a mother teaching her children how to sew, and one of them was propped up on her lap. It's just the way that we've connected and bonded for so many generations that a lot of us, you know, millennials, Gen Z, even some of the boomers lost out on growing up. And so it's really exciting to bring that back. So I hope this got you inspired. Be sure to check the description for whatever links you may be looking for. And I'm excited to see you next time.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Farm Family Podcast. It was so great to have you. I'd love to have you around more often, so if you haven't already and you'd like to be friends, click the subscribe button. And if you're really feeling it, leave a review. I love hearing from you and reading your words. As a child, I wished I could be transported to Green Gables and learn old-fashioned skills from Marilla alongside Little Miss and Shirley. I love the simple life I've created in adulthood, from the chickens in the yard to the cake on the counter. However, I really regret not getting the opportunity to learn these skills earlier. Our Anne of Green Gables series is the classic book split into four parts and filled with full of DIYs that teach kids life skills like Anne learned. Skills like knitting, sewing, nature crafts, cooking, baking, gardening, dairy farming, and more. If this sounds like your cup of tea, or should I say raspberry cordial, click the link in the description or show notes to view the full syllabus and discounted bundle.